When I first started at this church, when I first walked in the building, kind of that sort of person, I noticed all the places where the paint was flaking off in the building. I noticed all the patches on the walls. And then gradually, the longer you're here, you just get used to it and you just don't see it anymore. And maybe you're like that in your house. There's rooms in my house where they're just messy rooms in my house. And I don't see it anymore because it just always has been messy and I've grown to live with it. I've grown just to get used to what's there. And all of us get room blindness where we get used to things so much that it doesn't register anymore that there's a problem. It doesn't register anymore that there's something that's not as it should be. And it's like that with us and our lives. As I said last week, in this series, we're looking at how love creates. How love, which is the Spirit of God, God is love, how it brings life. And that new life can bring about a resurrection, a newness in us. And it says in John 10:10 that Jesus says, I have come to bring life and life in its fullness. The opposite of what the enemy is trying to bring, which is about trying to bring death and destruction and to rob us of the things that are good. And in Ephesians 1:13, it talks about how, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth and the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That when you become a Christian, when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross, that he died for our sins in our place, what happens is you can have access to the Holy Spirit, God's presence living in you. Which means your identity is now someone who is in Christ. And it says of those who are in Christ, it says this in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, then the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And we looked last week using this line on the floor saying, I was this is my old life, and how in Christ I am now new. That the new has come. But too often, what happens is, even though we're in the new, we live with our mentality being in the old. We still live like we're, oh, I'm so sinful, I'm so bad. And the grace of God is this, that sin, which used to be your identity used to be that you were a sinner, because of what Christ has done, we put our faith and trust in him, the God of love. Our identity is now someone who is in Christ. That we are in Christ. That we are in his righteousness. We are in his goodness. And therefore now, whereas before sin was my identity, now my identity is in Christ. Which means that when I sin, continue, because I carry on sinning, because I'm still human and I'm still not living with God in its fullness of his kingdom yet, that when I sin, it's no longer my identity. And we often mistake that when we carry on sinning as Christians, even though we strive not to, as soon as we sin, we go, oh, I'm a sinner again. I'm so awful. I'm so terrible. I'm back in my old life. And God goes, no. Now that you're in Christ, sin no longer has power to give you an identity. Sin's still a problem. It doesn't mean to say you just carry on sinning, it's all fine and dandy. It's not that. But it's saying that sin no longer gives you an identity. Your identity is now that you are in Christ. And so I looked last week at this, which is the fact that it's not what we do that determines who we are, it's who you are that determines what you do. It's not how sinful you are that determines your identity anymore. It's not how good you are that determines your identity anymore. What determines your identity is whether you're in Christ or not in Christ. Where is your identity found? Because as a Christian, our primary identity is found in Jesus. And yet everyone around you will try and put an identity upon you. They'll try and say, you should be this, you should be that. If only you can achieve this, then you'll be worth something. That it's about what you do that gives you worth. That if you can reach that promotion, if you can get a better grade at school, if you can do this, 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 and this, if you can achieve something, then you have a status. And the gospel says that's not what it's about. That your identity comes from who Jesus is. It comes from knowing him and putting your faith and trust in him. It's not about trying to be a good person to get to God. It's you're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. Nothing you can do apart from putting faith in Jesus can change that. Being a good person, coming to church, doesn't get you into the presence of God. It's about your relationship with him. Your identity is found in him. In the Old Testament, I mentioned this a few weeks ago about anointing. So in the Old Testament, there were particular roles where people were anointed for those particular tasks. So if you were going to be a king or you were going to be a priest, what would happen is someone would come and they would anoint you with oil. They'd pour oil all over you, not just a little bit on the forehead. They would absolutely smother you in oil as a symbol and a sign that you were marked out with a new identity for something different, for a new role. And the oil is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when it says in the Gospels, when it says in the New Testament, sorry, about how we are marked out and how we are sealed, it's saying the Holy Spirit comes on you and actually anoints you with a new identity. What does Jesus say in Luke's Gospel as he starts his ministry? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. It's that he's marked me out, he set me apart for a new task, for a new status, for a new identity. And so, if you were going to be king, you had to be anointed and given that identity. You couldn't just act like a king and hope for the best that someday you'd be king. It wasn't about trying to act in a certain way so that you could be king. It was you were marked out, given identity of being a king that allowed you then to act as a king. Do you see that? You couldn't just kind of go, I want to be a king, so I'll act in that certain way. It was you were either anointed for it or you weren't. And when you're anointed for it, it allows you to do things that fit in line with that identity. So as Christians, we are anointed. We are marked out as saying we are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit to be in Christ. To have a new identity, not as a sinner anymore, but as a saint who will occasionally sin. But sin no longer marks my identity. My identity is found in who I am in Jesus. And therefore, because of that identity, it means that what I choose to do needs to be in line and in step with that anointing. So if a king got anointed and just went, can't be bothered, you're no king at all. So if you want to be someone who's living the identity of Jesus, it's doing the things that Jesus did. And it says in Galatians chapter 5, to walk in step with the Spirit. It's saying, now that your identity is a spiritual being in Christ, walk in step with what that should look like. It's not a choice of saying, well, when it suits me, I'll do the Christian thing. It's saying you're either living this way or you're going the opposite direction. You're going back to your old life. Live in the new identity that you have received. So again, it's not what you do that determines who you are. It's who you are that determines what you are able to do. It's very easy to look around church and go, oh, that person's far more holy than I am. Oh, that person's better at me, better than me at this, that, and the other. So? Who cares? You're probably better at doing other things. It doesn't matter. We spend our time in church judging each other against what we can and what we can't do. And God's like, stop it. You're all in Christ. Walk in step with that. It's not about what you can contribute to this. It's about who you are in this. And then together we walk as one body. And it says in the Bible how some people are given to be hands, some people feet, some people eyes, some people ears. We're not meant to be the same. So when you start saying, oh, if only I was like that person, what you're saying to God is, if only I was an eye, if only I was an ear. It's just going, no, you're made to be a foot. You're made to be a hand. It's like, stop trying to compare yourself for the sake of it. Our identity is corporate together. We are in Christ and we play our part together. And so I showed this picture last week of the butterfly and the caterpillar. The caterpillar is in an old life and the caterpillar is transformed into something brand new, a butterfly. But if a butterfly crawls along the floor, a caterpillar, it's not living in the newness of what it has. It has wings to fly, to do something different, to be something brand new. And so it says in Ephesians 5:18, we need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? to remind us of that truth. Because if we go to 2 Timothy, where it talks about how God's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, or sound mind, basically meaning truth. It's saying we need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit to remind us that God has power to do something new in us, that it's about a new relationship with Him in love together, and that it's about bringing truth to the reality of who I now am. The Spirit of God wants to constantly fill us again, refreshing us in those truths of His power, of His love, and His truth. We need to constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just a one-time thing, but constantly being reminded of that. See, in Galatians chapter 5, which is the great passage about freedom, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And it says, freedom allows you to be fruitful. He says in Galatians 5, don't keep living like a sinner. Don't keep living like a caterpillar when you're a butterfly. Don't keep doing that. Be something new. Live in line with that. Let who you are now affect what you're now going to do. And he says, when you let God work in and through you, the fruit of that is love. And there's joy, and there's patience, and there's peace, and there's kindness, there's gentleness, there's self-control. All these things are fruits of the Spirit. It's saying that we can live that way, that those things are in step with God. Not a whole list of sins that come before this, of sexual immorality, impurity, of debauchery, of cheating people, of lying. Those things belong to a different way. And he's saying, don't listen to the flesh, which is the old life that you lived in. Listen to the Spirit of God in you. And too many of us just kind of live our lives kind of hoping against hope that somehow we'll do the right thing eventually. It's an active choice. What voice am I going to listen to? The voice of the flesh or the voice of the Spirit? Now, of course, we're going to mess up and we're going to keep sinning. That doesn't affect our identity. But when we do sin, it affects the ability for God's power and love and truth to really settle in our hearts. See, sin still gets in the way. It's still a problem, even though it's been removed from us. So our identity is set free from sin, but because we're still in a fallen world, sin still has an impact on us. It doesn't go away, it still impacts us. And I was trying a way of trying to show this, and this is the best thing I've come up with so far. So, this represents me. And it looks like me, doesn't it? Fantastic. I was made physically alive. But we're called to be spiritually alive. And the Spirit of God comes and it fills us. And it comes into our life. Should have had more water. But it's like this. The Spirit of God comes into our life and suddenly we become aware that there's things in our life which mean there's space where the Spirit of God could fill us more, but there's things in the way. There's things in the way. And so when the Spirit of God comes into our life, it starts pointing out things in our life that aren't in step with the Spirit, aren't in line with truth, aren't in life with freedom. You see, and what we need to do is be emptied so that we can be fully full of the Holy Spirit. Fully full of that spiritual life in us. And when we sin, it's like adding a pebble into our life that gets in the way of the Spirit of God being able to fill every part of us. And so what happens is, as the Spirit of God then moves into our life and starts filling us up, it starts making us aware of things in our life that maybe shouldn't be there. Of either sin in our life, or it might be believing things about yourself that aren't true. Whether that be you think you're worthless, or that you think you're amazing. Either way, either extreme is wrong and sinful. If you're proud and arrogant, that's just as bad as thinking you're worthless. They're both the same sin. It's a misunderstanding of who you are. And God wants to come and go, you know what? Who you think you are? I want to deal with that right now, and I want to take that out of your life. And you're like, oh, okay, God. And suddenly it feels as if there's a void in your life, and suddenly you feel, oh, it makes you feel vulnerable. But God says, I want to come and fill that with power, with love, and with truth. So actually, where you feel vulnerable, you know that it's in the love that I want to do this. And God says, actually, that secret sin you've been having in your life, I want to work on that. I want to take that out. It's like, oh, Lord, don't do that. And sometimes we'll go, actually, this is happening in my life. And we'll put things back in. And God's like, whoa, what are you doing? God wants to take out these things out of our life. As the Spirit of God moves more in us, he brings up things. And so often when the Holy Spirit brings things up in our life, what we do is we go, whoa, no, we're not dealing with that. And we walk away from God and get as far away from the presence of God as possible because we don't like God dealing with that in our life. It's like, whoa, that's too far, God. You've gone too far. I don't like that at all. But God's saying, let my Spirit empty you out. And when there's more space, more of the Holy Spirit can fill us. And the more the Holy Spirit fills us, the more we can live this life for him. The more we are transformed, the more our character comes in line with his character. The more full of him we can be, which means that we're more full of his power. We're more full of his love to be able to love others. We're full of more of his truth so that we can share truth with others. See, God wants to shape us and change us, not sort of go, you know, what you were before was awful. It's not saying that. It's saying, I want to try and make you who you were made to be in the first place. But there's all these things in your life that you've believed or lies that you've been told that you've clung on to, which have then become part of your identity that you carry with you. So if you think you're worthless and you carry that, part of your identity is I'm worthless or I'm useless. And God goes, no. Your identity, you're in Christ. Therefore, you have worth. You have value, and that needs to be a truth. But when we say, oh, I don't believe that God, we step back into our old life. It can be sins that we've committed in our life, or it can be sins that have happened to us. It could be abuse. It could be harsh words that our parents have said about us. It could be things that our friends have done against us. There's all number of things that could be in our life which don't need to be there. That God says, I want to bring healing to that. I want to bring truth to that. I want to bring my love to that. Not to say, oh, it never happened, but just to say, you don't have to believe that anymore. It doesn't have to be part of your identity anymore. It could be a long-term sickness. This has become, that's just who I am now. I'm that sick person. So, no, your identity is in Christ. And I believe in this, the power for healing. Not always, it's up to God what he wants to do. But at the right time, I think God wants to do that. Because he wants to bring about a new identity for you. He wants to bring about a new truth for you. And so as we remove these things from our life, we suddenly become more pure and we allow more of God to fill us. But as with everything, as we take a stone out, it depletes what's already there. So we should be constantly being filled. If I have more water, I fill it up, but I haven't got that. We should fill it up more and more and more so that more of us is in line with our identity as being a new creation in Jesus. That's how we can be fruitful. You see, when we read the list of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, we go, oh, I must be more patient. I must be more kind. Oh, I'm a Christian. I really ought to be more loving. And God's saying, it's a fruit. It's not an obligation. It's saying the more you live in step with the Spirit, the more naturally loving you'll be. The more joyful you'll naturally be. The more patient you'll naturally be. Because you'll understand the grandness of God's story about who you are in your life. Paul says, don't listen to the voice of the flesh, which tells you you have to cling on to all these baggages that you've got, all those things in your life that you've got, which give you some identity and some security. He says, don't listen to that. Listen to the truth of the Spirit who says your security is in a God who loves you. Will we let God shape who we are? Will we let God speak truth into our life? Are we prepared for that hard work, that difficult work that we have to let God do in our life and say, God, here am I. Is there anything in my life that isn't in line with the Spirit of God? Anywhere I'm not walking in step with you? And God will go, if you let me, I'll come and sort it out. And it's a horrible prayer to pray. It's a prayer that I pray regularly. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I thought I've sorted that out. They go, no, because you've gone back there. You see, because we can take it out, we think we're sorted, and then very quickly we run back to it and put it back in. Because we go, it's too empty. I need to have that in my life in order to feel something. What things are you clinging to in your life that actually aren't about your new identity in Jesus? Have you made your identity in your work? Have you made your identity in your relationship? Have you made your identity in what you can achieve? Have you made your identity in things that have happened to you in your past? Because what matters is your identity in Jesus and being in Christ. But are we going to be mature enough as Christians to say, God, here I am, have your way? That's what Jesus says. Will you let me have all of your life? In other words, will you let me speak truth into all those areas of baggage that you've been carrying around for years that you've believed that aren't yours to carry anymore? Because actually you're in Christ. I think we'll leave it there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, empty us out so we can be filled with the newness of your Spirit. Lord, let's be prepared to go in and delve deep and allow your Spirit to minister in us and point out things that actually aren't in step with you. Whether that be mindsets that we've got, whether that be sin that we're clinging to, Lord, whether that be identities that have been put on us by other people. Lord God, I pray that we would allow you the opportunity to be God in our life, to take control, Lord, and to be the one who speaks power, love, and truth into every aspect of our life. Holy Spirit, dig deep into us and uproot where there is sin. Uproot where there is lies. Just uproot things that should not be there. And Lord, in vulnerability, we ask that in that space, you would fill us fresh with your Holy Spirit, constantly being filled with you so that we are full up to overflowing. So that, Lord, when we get rid of some of the rubbish that's in the way, that, Lord, your Spirit then be able to flow in and through us more freely as we seek to walk in step with you. Amen.